Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Wednesday, December 20th, 2006. And guess who I have as a special guest today? Say hi. Say hi.
Who's your special guest today?
It's you, the boyfriend.
Am I special?
You are very special.
That's why I had to wait to answer. I wasn't certain if I was the special guest.
You are the special guest. And we are sitting in my kitchen.
And we're watching a meatloaf.
Yes, because
rise to power in Archer's brand new Whirlpool oven.
Because I am cooking your dinner tonight.
You are, and it looks delicious. I can't wait to eat it.
We're having meatloaf, special recipe meatloaf, my mother's recipe. We're having baked potatoes, Food Network recipe. And we're having some roasted green beans.
I can't wait. How many of the green beans will you eat?
Well, when I was preparing them, because you do a little bit of stuff ahead of time, I must have eaten probably 12 or 15 beans.
Raw?
Yes, raw. They were really crunchy. Yeah.
You're becoming quite the granola crunchy lesbian, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. I am.
After a while, you will be making hummus.
I don't know about that. But,
well, I think you're rapidly becoming the vegetable eater.
Well, now, what is my reason for your coming to my house during the week?
Because, well, there are two reasons.
I know the other one, but you tell me the first one.
Well, it's our last night together before Christmas, and so we're going to have dinner and open gifts.
That's right. Your gifts.
Yes.
Because we already opened mine.
Yes.
And the other reason...
It's 2 years ago that we met.
Exactly.
Exactly today.
2 years ago today, the boyfriend and I met. And I just posted something on my blog about it.
I was deflowered.
On that day, you were, weren't you?
And then I was taken advantage of.
I don't know about that. You took off your clothes on your own accord. I didn't...
Those are for artistic endeavors. I did not know that I would be mauled and pawed.
Wait, are you telling everyone that we had sex the very first day we met?
I was accosted.
I don't know about that. But 2 years has gone by. Can you believe 2 years since we met?
But it is not our second anniversary.
I know. I said that on my blog, that this is not our actual anniversary, because we didn't start dating right away. We only had sex.
Well, we did a lot of talking and getting to know each other first.
Yes, we did.
And we did do our artistic things first.
Yes, we did.
And we enjoyed each other's company, and...
Yes, we did.
We had a nice afternoon.
Yes, we did. Several times before we started dating. So that's a kind of an anniversary, and I'm cooking this special dinner for that, too. I didn't know if you remembered that or not.
I did. I'm a history teacher. I remember
that's
everything.
Right. You are history. Are you finished with your nibbles here?
I think I am. Do you want some nibbles?
No, but I will put them away before the cheese gets too...
Keep the hard white cheese out.
Keep it out?
Dinner. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we have some... what kind of... It's... I think it's Parmesan, isn't it?
It doesn't taste like... I think it's Asiago.
Asiago. I don't know.
But it is not going well with our nibble wine.
Well, because you chose a Chardonnay for dinner.
Well, I thought this was a...
you can't tell what it is? Let me have this little piece here.
Oh, it's... this is Asiago.
Okay. I was at the store today looking for cheeses, because I still don't know the name of that cheese that I really like. That it's hard like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well.
Anyway, I can't remember it. I did want to tell the listeners, thank two people for some cards we got. We got an electronic holiday card from Henry that I played. Did you like the way that little thing played? Cute little music, and the birds were decorating the Christmas tree.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wasn't that cute?
That was adorable.
And then we also got a card. We actually got a card in the mail today from Vincent in Malaysia.
Oh, well, happy holidays, Vincent from Malaysia.
And he wrote a nice message about loving Archer Radio and wishing the boyfriend happy holidays too. So we had that. And did you listen to Tuesday's show?
Yes.
Did you really? Because you don't remember? You didn't listen to today? Did you listen to
I listened to yesterday's show.
Okay. That would be Monday's show.
Okay.
Today's show, I talked about...
Because I came here right after work. I didn't listen to today's show.
I didn't know if you listened to it in the morning or what, because I posted it before I went to bed last night.
Unlike you, I do not have leisure time in the morning.
Oh, this is not leisure time. I load it up on the iPod and do things while I'm listening.
Well, I don't do that.
Why not? You have an iPod. You have iTunes. You have subscribed to Archer Radio.
I only focus on one thing in the morning. Getting out of bed.
And drinking coffee.
Drinking coffee. Getting in the shower and walking out the door.
That's a lot of different things. So it's really the one thing would be preparing for work.
I don't get up like you do 3 hours before work. I get up, I shower, I make the coffee, and I'm out the door.
Well, I have to get up early because I take a long time. I have to do things slowly.
I know. You have to set your hair and you have to tease it. And then you have to paint your toenails. And then you have to put on your makeup. And then you have to watch your morning news shows.
I do.
And then you have to douche. And then you
Sweetheart.
Have to do all of your... Well, I know. It takes a long time for you to look pretty and get prepared.
It does take me a long time. Let me tell you another story. I think I already told you this story, but I'm going to tell it again because for the podcasters. And I told this person I was going to tell this story. This past summer, I got a message from Tim at Go Rainbow Radio, which is another podcast in D.C. And he was trying to get together a gathering of the D.C. podcasters, but it just never came together. Well, I didn't think anything of it and, you know, I let the email go and all that stuff. And I didn't make a connection of who he was. Well, then, just recently, like 2 days ago, he posted a video on QPotter. You're familiar with QPotter, aren't you?
I use it every day and all the time.
Do you really? What kind of things do you do on QPotter?
Well, I look up all kinds of things on QPotter.
Like what?
Well, like directions to various locations.
That's on QPotter?
Oh, yes. I look up various recipes.
Okay, that's enough.
I plan my history lectures.
As a side note for the listeners, the boyfriend thinks QPotter is the internet.
Oh, it's just something out there. And you just press a button and there it is.
Anyway, so Go Rainbow Radio posted this video, their first video on QPotter. At least, you know, they posted that they had posted it. And I looked at the picture of the guy and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I know that guy. And so I go to the website and download the video and watch the video. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know Tim from Go Rainbow Radio. He and I actually dated in the early to mid 90s. I can't remember the exact year, to tell you the truth. But turns out we dated. And the only other gay podcaster in D.C. is somebody I dated. Isn't that a small world? Oh, I thought that was very funny. Anyway, so that's the story of that. You know, the other thing, too, I wanted to tell you is that I, thanks to John Ong, who sent me a link to the Recipe Manager, which is a piece of software, I downloaded this new piece of software called the Recipe Manager and started inputting my recipes on the computer.
Oh, good.
It's very cool. I'll have to show it to you later. It actually comes with 200 recipes already in it.
Now, I could use that.
If you had a Mac.
Well, they don't make that for a PC?
They do, actually. They do have a PC
well,
version.
Well, then why can't you get that for me?
Well, because I have a Mac. Why would I download the PC version?
Well, what about why not a version for me?
Why would I have,
I have hundreds of recipes.
I would have to be at your computer. Okay, let's stop right there. Would you sit at the computer and input all of your recipes?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't. You have a little... You're starting to smile because you realize you won't. There is... You have that marble notebook, that black and white marble notebook that you literally tape recipes into the pages.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but if you had it all on the computer, you could just easily pull it up. And that's why you should have a computer in your kitchen.
Where would I put it?
That's just it. You don't have any space to put anything else in your kitchen. You have too much.
You can put one in your kitchen.
I know. You know, I told you what I'm going to do.
I really do.
I'm going to put it over here and move those appliances over on the countertop.
Do you really?
I think so.
Why would you do that?
Just to see what it looks like. And if I start cooking, you know, because you gave me those beautiful dishes, I can have dinner parties.
That's right. Well, I keep asking you, when is the first dinner party here at Shea Archer?
Well, look over here at the floor.
No one cares about the floor.
There is... I'm still talking about my...
Your carpet.
Nasty carpet from the flood.
No one cares. No one cares.
If they saw it, they might. That looks
Who?
Terrible.
Who?
I don't know. People come
Which
over.
Which of our friends would even...
They would say, oh, what happened to your carpet?
And so you say it got wet. And I'm getting it changed. Look at my beautiful kitchen.
Look at my beautiful kitchen.
But I really enjoy this red. I really think... I mean, the more... I didn't like it at first, but every time I see it, and I see different things you have in here in different colors matched with it, I think it's... lively, it's vibrant, it's alive. I like it.
Do you like that new picture I got over there?
I do.
And I moved the green plate up there, although I should have moved it a little different.
I like it. You have all of these neutral tones on your countertop, your floor, your cabinets. I think the red just brings it all alive. It's like blood.
Well, you know,
it's like a life.
It's growing on me too, so I'll probably.
I really do think you should.
Plus, I don't really want to paint it again. It was a pain in the butt to paint.
Well, I don't know why you would. It's a lovely color.
Well, speaking of the kitchen, on today's little fatty cast, I know you don't listen to Larry and Big Fatty, but Big Fatty said because Larry was talking about his kitchen or something, and Big Fatty goes, "Well, hey, speaking of that, you know, Archer, he's got this brand new $22,000 kitchen." And he eats out all the time. I'm like, wait a minute, we don't eat out all the time.
No.
And so little, our Big Fatty, I should say, I'm cooking a meal right now.
No, we do eat
eating in.
We normally eat in.
But when we you know eat, why? I think he said that because I talked about going to Cafe Deluxe on Saturday. Right. Yeah.
No, when we eat out. Like, our next eating out adventure will be Kincaid's.
Kincaid's, a very exclusive, expensive
seafood restaurant,
yeah.
But we know the bartender there, and we get a couple of nice like we got some freebie brut glasses of brut and all that.
And I always get exactly what I order. I can order what I want,
which is
fish and chips
at the most exclusive restaurant in Washington D.C.
And I get fish and chips, but the fish is so good.
Well, don't you think you should try like the. Walnut crusted halibut, the seared tuna steak,
no,
the monkfish prepared with asparagus and prosciutto.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I don't really like those.
How do you know?
Here we go.
Let's
change the topic.
No, wait. Because you had halibut and you liked it.
I had a tiny little taste.
Halibut is the most palate friendly fish, and I'm not a big fish eater, but if you can't eat halibut, you can't eat chicken. The texture is the same, it's prepared, you can't beat the preparations at Kincaid's. So why would you get fried fish and chips?
Because they're good.
But try something different, try something new.
Well, maybe, we'll see. Anyway, so I started this recipe.
You've had
software. I have not had
swordfish. You've had swordfish.
I have not had swordfish.
You've had it.
When did I have swordfish?
You've had it.
When?
When I told you it was cod.
You're lying.
No, no.
Yeah, you are. Uh-uh. You're so lying. Because you would have told me before now.
No.
You're lying.
I like you to sit in your own mess for a while.
You're lying.
No.
But I want to thank John Ong because I talked about getting a software... for my recipes, and he directed me to this called the Recipe Manager. At the same time, I have to thank Paul because he sent me to a couple other links to Yum software and other different software that I didn't really care for, so I'm going with the Recipe Manager. Anyway, what was I going to talk about? I don't remember now. So you're getting ready to go to Louisiana. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm excited. It'll be a better Christmas than last Christmas.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I was telling the listeners that we took all your presents to UPS on Saturday. And they shipped them out, and they said they'd be there by Thursday. I thought that was amazing.
Well, it's warm. It's warm down there.
Well, speaking of warm, did you feel it's that record heat? Too. Record temperature yesterday, 76 degrees in D.C.?
But warm down there is normal, so I think that's a good thing. Because the last time, in 2004, it was cold, and it snowed. It had never snowed. New Orleans had never had a white Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Katrina hit the next... Summer.
So you're saying that the warm Christmas this year...
I think it's normal. So I think it's okay. Going to be normal.
All right, that's good. Did you see that the First Lady has skin cancer?
I saw that she had a tumor removed.
Yeah. And that's sad.
Well, it is. I mean, I wouldn't wish that kind of thing on anyone, but I hope she's doing well.
Oh, you know what I was going to tell you about? Because I was asking about if you listened to the show today. Because I talked about merit pay. There was a thing on the news last night about, you know, the whole idea of bonuses and merit pay is coming back for teachers.
Oh, I hate that. Okay.
And I got several comments, one from Mike Hipp and John Q and Adam, about merit pay. And Mike Hipp, who I'd like to slap the next time I see him, just kidding, Mike, says that he thinks we need to remember that we have 8 to 12 weeks off in the summertime.
Well, Mike Hipp, let me give you a dose of reality. We might be off for 8 to 12 weeks, but we don't get paid.
So what he's
we don't get paid. I have a job in the summer because I don't get paid.
That's exactly what he's trying to say, is that your salary is based on a 10-month contract, which means you get, if you were to actually, you know, whatever, prorate it for a whole year, you'd be making nice money.
Well, no. Well, in this area, we're making what's considered very mediocre salaries. I don't know. It's like, in other, I can't imagine. I work for Montgomery County. We're one of the best, highest paid teacher salaries in the country. And I could not, if I were married, my wife would have to work. I could not raise a family on what I would make, prorated or not. I don't make enough money. I mean, I can support myself, and I budget myself very wisely, and I know that relative to other parts of the country, I am paid very, very well, but that's relative indeed. If I had stayed with the federal government, for example, before I started teaching at Montgomery County, I was making more money as a education specialist for Department of Energy, sitting at a desk reading a book. I made more money doing that than I did teaching.
Yeah.
So.
But the problem is that for you to live the lifestyle that you live, you actually have to have a second job.
I do have a second job.
Which I think that's sad. I said on the show that I think to retain good teachers, because they're saying that merit pay would attract really good teachers to the program.
It would attract good teachers to teach highly motivated students.
Which we
don't. Let's look at merit pay, for example. I teach all day long. I teach IB and AP students.
Right.
My test scores are high, not because I'm I'm a genius, but because I work with a population of students who are economically privileged, whose parents can afford tutors. It's a socioeconomic.
They've got all the advantages you can ask from your students.
I teach a dream population. So, yes, I personally, merit pay, yeah, give me merit pay. My scores are very high. But the teacher down the hall who's teaching the special ed classes and the all-level classes, those students are going to struggle to pass what we call the HSAs or the SOLs in your case. Well, where's the merit for him? Because compared to my scores, his scores are actually rather pathetic. But it has nothing to do with him.
Right.
He's working with a very different population.
That's what I tried to explain on the show. I said, for example, last year when I had that nightmare class, I would not have gotten my merit pay because those kids would not have, you know, meet the benchmark for first grade.
Right.
However, this year, I have a dream class where involved parents, smart kids, motivated learners, all of that, and I would get merit pay this year. That's why I don't think it's fair. One year you'd get it, next year you wouldn't. I say it depends on the kids you're going to be teaching, and you have no control over those factors.
Well, and teachers, until you're tenured, you don't really have control over where you're teaching. How many teachers, if we had merit pay, for example, how many teachers would want to teach in inner city schools, schools that don't meet these various benchmarks? It's all become so political. So where would those schools find teachers?
Exactly. Well, that's what they're saying in the Texas place, where they're saying they're going to offer $3,000 more for teachers teachers who will teach at at-risk schools and mm-hmm. who show progress on the test scores. However, my whole thing of what I'm saying about the population of the kids changes every year. Mike Hipp said, "Hello, welcome to reality in the corporate world. From year to year, your bonus is based on factors you don't control in the workforce, regular working area, in the business world."
Well, no, in the business world, you do have variables you can control, say you're making ice cream, for example. Maybe that's your business, ice cream. And so you take the various ingredients. It might be, so maybe you're making blueberry ice cream. Well, the blueberries coming in are poor. They're not the best blueberries. So you can either make ice cream with poor ingredients and hope consumers don't notice, and so you don't get your bonus, or you don't meet your quota. Or you can decide, well, I'm going to reject this. I'm going to find better ingredients. I'm going to find the freshest blueberries. I'm going to make a better quality product. I'm going to charge 10 cents more. Consumers will buy it, and I've met my quotas. Well, you know what? We take every blueberry that walks in the door.
Right. We
can't pick and choose or reject the blueberries that walk through or the ingredients that walk in our classrooms. You get what you get. And because here in America we don't really have the kinds of educational systems that Europeans have, for example, so every kid in America, regardless of whether they speak English as a second language or whether they're illiterate in their own foreign language, whether they have no parents at home, whether they're on all kinds of drugs, prescribed or otherwise, regardless of where they're coming from, they're sitting in your classroom and they're going to be taking a battery of tests. And so, I don't know how it is in your school. In our school, all of our numbers, all of our data, it's all framed in these graphics. We have three of these graphics. Our AYP, our HSA scores, our SAT scores. And so it's really up to that teacher, whatever walks in your classroom, that's what you have. And so the kid doesn't show up to class, or they sleep through class, or they're drugged out, or their parents aren't home, or they don't speak English, or for whatever reason, they're still taking that HSA at the end of the year.
That's right.
You might be the best teacher in the world. You may have worked night and day with these kids. You may have called their parents 100 times. The fact of the matter is, that kid is still going to take that test, and whether he passes or fails, it's a mark next to your name.
That's right. That's why your merit pay should not be based on student test scores. Better yet, no merit pay at all, just pay higher salaries. Now, I mentioned on the podcast that Fairfax County did this in the early 90s. We had a merit pay system, and it actually backfired on the county because mm-hmm. what it ended up doing was pitting teachers against teachers.
Absolutely.
If you had a really good teacher, that teacher would not share any of their ideas or any of the materials or anything like that, because they knew that if they share the materials, this other teacher might get merit pay, and then what would be the point? So it became a competition, really. So
absolutely.
So it totally backfired.
Or teachers in my department would look at me and say, well, look at him. He's got all the best students.
Right, right.
I mean, it really does create that kind of bitterness because, you know, we're all sharing, regardless of the fact that we teach in good public schools, we're sharing whatever resources we have. We're sharing our classrooms. I am home-based as a teacher. I have a classroom, but I'm sharing my classroom with three other teachers.
Right. They come in when you're out.
So I've got to find a space to even do my work. Or there are two Xerox machines or the entire building. Or, you know, the paper runs out for the Xerox machines. So you've got to go in the file cabinet and come up with plan B. So there are so many things in the day of a school teacher, unlike the business consultant or the business manager, who can plop this stuff on the secretary's desk or have someone else make the phone calls, right, or can work from their home or can manage their ingredients or can select their clients. We can't do any of that.
And, you know, another point was made in the comments. Adam from This Boy, yeah, Oh Boy, also noted that even though we only work, only, I shouldn't say only, like, for example, I have a 10-month contract, so I work 10 months. That is 10 months during the school year. During the school year as well, how often do I bring work home?
Absolutely.
How often do I get to school
weekends,
2 hours early and stay after?
Mm-hmm.
So it really, I end up working a 12-month year, a 12-month contract in 10 months' time.
Yeah.
Because I literally work, I think it's, well, if you think 6:30 to 4 every day, I don't know what that adds up to, but that's a lot of hours. So anyway, I just don't think we're getting paid well, and I do not like the idea of merit pay or bonuses or whatever for teachers.
Well, it's not popular in the teaching community.
It's certainly not.
Across the board.
There are administrators who think it's the magic bullet, but it's not.
It's not. Well, even with merit pay, well, look at what's happened. They've induced these young kids coming out of school. When I signed my contract, starting pay was so bad, it was pathetic. So what they've done is they've increased the starting pay for incoming teachers, and they've given them signing bonuses.
But it has not trickled up.
It hasn't trickled up, but it hasn't solved the problem of people of attracting people to the teaching profession, because they don't last. The attrition rate is 5 years.
Max.
Regardless of the signing bonuses and the higher entry pay, most of them leave within 5 years. Why? Well, because all the factors we've listed. There are a million variables out of your control. Why work on your personal time and your weekends, and you can't bill those hours? It's just time you're giving up, when in fact you can go somewhere else and bill those hours, make more money, have your free time when you come home, and be compensated for the work you're doing. I mean, so even that hasn't worked. Young people are not going in the teaching profession. And those who do...
leave within 5 years.
They leave because, let's face it, it's better somewhere else. So,
yeah.
I don't think that's the answer either, merit pay.
I don't either. Well, we're going to wrap this up because we're getting close to the 30-minute mark. And, you know, I don't like to go over 30 minutes. But I just wanted to say thank you for being on the show, honey.
You're welcome.
Thank you for giving us your opinions on merit pay. And I'm going to miss you next week.
I'm going to miss you too, honey.
I hope you have a wonderful vacation.
I will.
Tell your parents I said hi.
I know, and they wish that you were coming with me.
Well, tell them to adopt me and pay my ticket.
I don't think your mom would like it if they'd adopt you.
No, she probably wouldn't. Anyway, boys and girls, that's all for today. Until next time, let's say goodbye together. Ready? Bye.
Bye. Usher Ray.